The following program is intended as an educational program, not as investment advice or as a recommendation to buy, sell, or participate in any investment vehicle, product, offering, or strategy. Investment advisory services are offered through Turning Point Financial, a registered investment advisor. Any references to specific securities, investment vehicles, or strategies are intended only as examples, not as recommendations. All investments involve risk, including the possibility of losing money. Welcome to Money in Mission, here on Holy Family Radio, WHYF AM 720, where each week we talk about wealth management built on a foundation of biblical wisdom and principles. Do you ever wonder how your money and the things you own are actually helping you to live out what you really feel called to in your heart? There is so much peace of mind when you sense that your money is aligned with your values and convictions, as well as your financial goals. And there really, really is peace of mind when deep down you know that your financial goals are in sync with your values and convictions. There is so much potential for anxiety when you sense that your money is not aligned with your values and convictions. The problem really is that it is so much easier said than done. There's financial information coming at us from all over the place, every single minute of every single day. And it really can actually be overwhelming, whether it's terminology or ideas or philosophies or various competing principles. And of course, financial products and services, all this stuff, keeping it all straight can be downright confusing and possibly even scary. And when you are confused, you simply don't make good decisions. And that can keep you from being all that God wants you to be. It can hurt you pretty badly as well. Well, welcome to episode 15 of Money in Mission. I'm actually here in the studio at Holy Family Radio today, recording this solo. So I've never done a monologue in my life, but we'll see how this goes. Eric is typically with us, but he had some car problems today, so we hope he is doing well. But each week, in the first part of our show, we talk about some current financial events so that you'll have a better understanding of what terminology is all about and just what some of that stuff means. And then part of the way through the show, we get to our weekly puzzler. And a weekly puzzler is just a brain teaser. It's a puzzle, and we share it with you. We hope you find it interesting. I think these weekly puzzlers probably fall under the category of dad jokes. And Joe Nevesinski is sitting over there. He's nodding his head. Yes, that is absolutely true. Dad jokes. But there they are. And so we'll read that weekly puzzler to you. Well, we've had just an incredible amount of stuff going on in the markets and the financial news. If you've been tracking, again, there's just headline. There's all kinds of stuff coming at us. But it seemed like this week, the week passed from when we're recording this episode, everyone was watching NVIDIA earnings. So NVIDIA has kind of become a household name, and it's become a headline, a financial news headline topic. Everyone, it seemed, was watching to see if NVIDIA was making as much money as anticipated. Now, if you check financial headlines throughout the year, you will periodically see headlines that talk about earnings. Earnings season. And you might ask yourself, what in the world is so important about earnings? Exactly how does that work? It actually becomes really important in your investment portfolio. If you own stocks, if you own mutual funds, if you own ETFs, earnings can make a really, really big difference, at least in sometimes the short-term fluctuations that you see going on in your portfolio. So earnings are important. Remember that every stock in the market represents a company. And it's easy to kind of say, oh, companies, you know, this feels somewhat ambiguous. But companies are actually made up of people. Real people get up each and every day and they go to work to do something. And the folks that run the radio station here, the radio station could just be, hey, a radio station. But, you know, Joe and how many Joes are there?
There's three
Joes.
Yeah.
So Joe, and Joe. Right? They all get up and come into the station and they do things, and that makes the station run. So people get up every day and they go to work and they work for companies. Those companies out there, and there are thousands and thousands of companies. We all know the thousands and thousands of companies that are out there. Even if you don't know the names of everyone, there are thousands. But these people that run these companies, they sell products and services to each other. And the net result of selling products and services to each other is that each company has income. People charge for their services and their products. And so companies have income. In investment language and on Wall Street, it's called revenue. So everybody wants more revenue, because when there's more revenue, then there's more money to work with. So income is coming into companies from products and services that are sold. But companies also have all kinds of expenses. They don't just get to keep all the money they get from selling things, products and services. So now the money comes in and it lands in a company's checkbook somewhere, and then money starts going back out in the form of expenses. So expenses could be things like payroll, making sure that all employees are getting paid, taxes. And yes, companies actually do pay taxes. I know that sometimes we hear that companies don't pay enough taxes, but companies pay taxes. Utilities, things that make the company run, electricity to turn on the lights, water to make everything work in a company, marketing, charitable donations, supplies to make the product or service that they actually make. So, and we could go on and on. The point is that revenue comes in and then money goes back out in the form of paying expenses. Well, after all the expenses are paid, then that company hopes, or they have a business plan that projects, that they will have a profit. That's money left over after all the expenses are paid. And if you own a company, or if you're investing in a company, typically the reason you do that is because you are hoping that that company will turn a profit, right? So you have revenue, income, minus expenses, and the people who own the company, the investors in that company, hope for a profit. And if you own stock, if you own a mutual fund, if you own an ETF, if you have an investment portfolio, then you are probably invested in companies where you, along with everybody else, are hoping that there will be a profit. And that's called earnings. We want to know how much a company is earning. So what happens is that the managers of those companies then will make an earnings projection. They'll look at their business model and they'll say, you know, we think that based on the economics that are out there and how we understand our customers and how we understand our sales process and all the different things that we understand about our company, we think that we will have a certain amount of earnings coming up throughout the coming year. And whenever managers of a company make this public pronouncement that we think we'll have a certain amount of earnings, that's called guidance. So investors and people who own companies, if they own company stock, they will look at the guidance that's provided by those managers, and they'll set expectations. Oh, we think this company is going to have a certain amount of money. And that helps investors to invest money in that stock. So when investor money comes in and it buys that stock, it provides demand in the investment market, and that supports the price of that stock. So what happens when a company doesn't make its earnings projection? This is really, really not good news. A company shows up and each quarter, each calendar quarter, they are now reporting to the world, hey, we didn't make as much as we thought we did, or as much as we thought we would. And when that happens, the price of the stock usually drops a lot. We all are familiar with a company called FedEx. You know, a year and a half ago or so, FedEx showed up and said, hey, because of increased expenses, we missed our earnings, and the stock price just got pummeled. And the same thing happened to a number of other companies. Target had a real price impact when they missed earnings because of inflationary pressures. So earnings is a really, really, really big deal. And investors are looking at NVIDIA and watching for NVIDIA's earnings report to kind of gauge how this artificial intelligence thing that we have going on in our world today, you know, if there's any depth, if there's any breadth to that. And because NVIDIA is such a large company at this point. So earnings are enormously important. Everybody's watching NVIDIA to see, you know, are the earnings going to continue? And exactly what is that going to say about the artificial intelligence business? So yes, earnings are important. Companies that qualify as biblically responsible are impacted by earnings as well, and everything else that we've talked about here. So hope that's helpful in understanding how earnings are important and how they work. We do need to take a break. Today we'll be talking with Nathan Parrott of the Timothy Plan, but stay tuned. You're listening to Money and Mission here on Holy Family Radio, WHYF, AM 720.
Christ Community Catholic. You're listening to Holy Family Radio, WHYF, AM 720.
Nourishing our Catholic family, sharing our faith with others.
Welcome back to Money in Mission here on Holy Family Radio, WHYF AM 720. Did I say that right?
You absolutely did.
Yeah, it's like I keep getting
the engineer said you did.
The engineer said I did. Thank you, Joe.
We
so appreciate you. Well, you know, each week we talk about wealth management and investments built on a foundation of biblical wisdom and principles. You know, if there's only one thing you take away from our discussion today, we hope you'll remember that it is possible to evaluate your investments to confirm that either yes, your investments are in alignment with your values, or no, they're not.
Mm-hmm. Right? That's right.
That's right. Our special guest today is Nathan Parrott, and Eric, you're here too.
Yeah.
Sorry. But Nathan, say
he's
hi.
He's our special guest.
He's our special guest.
Hello, everyone. How are we doing today?
Thanks for joining us, Nathan.
Thanks for being here.
So, Nathan, every week on the podcast, we talk about how important it is for our wealth management planning and our investments to be in alignment with our values and convictions. You know, can you help us understand, like, why is this so important?
Yeah, I think, you know, when we think of money, right, we don't really think of values necessarily. Mm-hmm. I think we're all taught at a young age that we want to treat people kind, and we want to mm-hmm. be, you know, good stewards or really be smart with our money. But whenever we look at it as a business, we don't necessarily think of values going along with any kind of financial advisor or just investments in general.
Yeah, something right. kind of gets separated in, that,
that's
in
right.
the translation.
That's right. So I think what's really cool now that we see that's come into you know, direct light, I think, in the last 10 or 15 years is this idea of investing with values mm-hmm. And being able to choose companies that aren't giving to things that go against our personal beliefs or our values or standards.
Right, yeah. And you work for a company called the Timothy Plan, and we'll talk more about that, you know, and how you got connected there.
Absolutely.
In the next segment. But you know, we were just talking last night too about what happens when you suddenly discover. I mean, as we said, there's this disconnect, right?
Right.
But when people suddenly discover that, you know, they're working hard and living a life that, you know, reflects the values that they feel is near and dear to them, right? Christian values and then
and putting their money towards those as well.
Putting their money towards them, mm-hmm, like yeah. charitable giving.
That's
and
right.
maybe
Absolutely.
Maybe volunteering their time.
So they think they're doing the right thing with all their efforts along
right.
the way.
And they are, mm-hmm. right? And they are. And then they discover that, you know, sort of lurking in the closet, if you will.
Absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
Or flying under the radar screen is an investment portfolio that really kind of runs counter to everything that they're doing in their life.
Right, right. And I think that's an eye-opening moment, right? Mm-hmm. People don't think that when they're investing their money, they're making a difference or an impact on anyone else except for themselves,
mm-hmm.
right? And now we realize that that is not the case. Now we have ways to be able to see where these companies are putting their money. And some of them are right on our TV screen. I mean, they tell us what their values are in the way that they market their products and just showcase their products. So it's an interesting time.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if you have any thoughts on that.
But to just kind of, you know, be really clear on that, right? Let's say I have a mutual fund in my portfolio.
Right.
And I look at it and go, I own a mutual fund.
Right.
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 So I don't really own a stock. Do I? Well, not really, but my money is in that mutual fund, and the mutual fund has all those stocks.
Right.
Right. And so...
And that money that they get from that allows them to put it towards what they want to, whether or not you agree with them or not.
That's it. That's mm-hmm. it. You know, we're out of the age of... Well, I shouldn't say that. There's a lot of companies that do one thing really well, and that's their business.
Right.
Mm. Now we're in a day and age where culture is telling us, this is the right thing and this is the wrong thing. And so media and how we dress and what we watch on TV, and that's, I guess, kind of pop culture. Mm-hmm. And it signifies to our children that, hey, this is what's the norm.
And it bleeds through to our shared values.
And it bleeds through to our shared values, right? Mm-hmm. Or against
right.
our values,
mm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So to your point, James, yes, it's a mutual fund, but it's made up of all these stocks, right? And
right.
some people don't look at the individual holdings. They're just thinking of the mutual fund as a whole.
Right.
Right? So what we have to do is we have to break that down to find out, are these companies within this umbrella really doing what we want them to do? And are they attached to our values or are they not?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
It does. Yeah.
And a lot of folks, they just see, you know, the Morningstar ratings, the stars they apply to them.
Right.
And you know, they don't really know what's really going on inside of their mm-hmm. portfolio.
That's right.
Yeah. Or value line ratings.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes. Yeah.
Or Morningstar value line. We didn't practice that before we said it, but those are.
You know, I mean, I think, you know, I talk to many advisors in my role. And I will tell you, there are a lot that will just go by the Morningstar rating.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of why I threw that out there.
Yeah, yeah, you're absolutely
and even
right.
savvy investors that we
absolutely
you know, make contact with.
Absolutely.
I mean, there's a few metrics they're checking on. And once it passes that smell test, that they'll put that in their portfolio
or
at least in that pool of options.
But I think it's so important as an advisor, a financial professional, or just as a consumer, a direct investor, to really understand that your money it has impact.
Mm.
Yes.
It has impact. And we're giving it to that company and entrusting them, not only for a return, but, you know, for a good investment and that they're going to do with that money, what we want them to do. And the reality is companies make their own decisions.
Right.
Right. Right. So we have to, as direct investors, we need to make sure that we understand those companies' values and what they give to. And so I think that's a very, we need to make sure that that is not forgotten as the direct investor, that we do have a choice of what we invest in. And there is the research out there to be able to answer some of these questions that we're posing right now.
Yeah. So, I mean, let's put arms and legs on that, right? And, you know, I was thinking about this as we were kind of prepping for our conversation today. You know, let's just kind of paint an example and pretend that, you know, maybe you are sending financial support to a camp, right?
Yeah.
And your financial support to the camp is making it possible for kids to go to camp and have a great camp experience. And that's important to you because in that camping experience, there's values that they learn and they have opportunities to make life decisions in that context, right?
So
you're giving money and maybe you're volunteering at the camp and so on and so
forth,
right? And then, you know, you went digging in your portfolio and discovered a stock. I'm not going to name this particular company, but if I did, you would probably recognize the name. And let's say, you know, you're digging around through that and lo and behold, you find that that company publishes like computer and video games that are really controversial.
Yeah.
That the game itself is depicting violence and nudity and simulated gambling. And,
right.
And all of a sudden, you know, what you're doing with your money is really colliding with what you're doing with your life.
Yes.
Right?
I mean,
am I saying that well?
Oh, you're saying it great. I think, you know, so I grew up in a family that ate dinner at 5 o'clock every night, right? My father was a pastor. We'll talk a little bit about that here in a second. But to answer your question, we were taught values at the dinner table. So imagine now, I do the same thing with my son and my daughters now. We teach this value system. We go to church on Sunday and there's values that we live by and there's beliefs that we have. So we tell those beliefs to our kids and the values, and we hope that they embrace them and they live their life according to those. But as soon as we're done at the kitchen table telling them that, they run downstairs and they get on Xbox or PlayStation.
That's right.
And they're playing that game that perhaps dad and mom, hopefully they know, but I've got a 13-year-old that sometimes you don't know because they can get it on the internet. Right.
Mm-hmm. And they're all playing, downloadable now.
That's all downloadable.
Mm-hmm. You don't have to go purchase it for them.
You don't have to go to the store like I did and where it says parental, you know, or explicit lyrics or it says parental advisory. There's none of that stuff anymore because most of the time they get it off the internet.
Right.
Right. So, but my point is that all the things that I'm speaking to them about are being erased by these games.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I am not going to mention any games here. But I will tell you, pornography or just the suggestion of it, topless bars, gambling, extreme violence. You know, it's not like we grew up and, you know, whenever somebody was killed, they just disappeared from the screen. Now it's you know, very graphic.
Right, mm-hmm. Right.
So we're ingraining into our children and really to anybody that's playing these games that this is acceptable in society. Right. So think about that. Whenever somebody goes to invest, if they're accepting all these things as their truth and there's no problem with them.
And you keep moving that goalpost a little farther.
And you keep moving that goalpost.
Yep.
Right. So what's the point of, I mean, do they really care what's in it? They should. But we've got to really look at these companies that are doing these things and not give money to them because they just keep polluting what's going on here in our society, and especially with our children.
That's right, yeah. And, you know, we've made this point here on the podcast a number of times that when money leaves our checkbook, it makes an impact. And, we've covered, like, one little topic here, but I hope it highlights the issue of alignment, right?
Absolutely.
So, yeah, time goes by so quickly here. We need to get to our weekly puzzle here, but we're talking with Nathan Parrott today, from the Timothy funds and a Timothy plan about aligning our investments with our values.
And this week's puzzle, which was a lot of fun, I am heavy forward, but backward I'm not. What am I?
Heavy forward, but backward I'm not.
What am I? A ton.
A ton.
T-O-N. Backwards is N-O-T.
Yeah.
Womp womp.
Womp womp. That falls under the dad joke thing.
That's right.
Yeah. All right. So this week's puzzle, I love this one. What time is it when an elephant sits on a fence?
What time is it when an elephant sits
on elephant,
a fence?
An elephant. What time is it when an elephant sits on a fence? Send your answers to radiopuzzle@wealthdevelopmentcouncil.com, and we'll read the correct answer right here next week.
You are listening to Money and Mission on Holy Family Radio.
Welcome back to Money in Mission, where we're talking with Nathan Parrott.
That's right.
This week about aligning values with, or aligning our investments with our values, right?
Yes.
And really it fits into our weekly theme of wealth management built on a foundation of biblical wisdom and principles. A great big thank you to Joe Murray here
for being
a great engineer here at Holy Family Radio. And I'm James.
And this is Eric.
And we're co-hosting Money and Mission. What episode is this? 15.
This is episode 15.
Wow. Yeah, who would have ever thought?
15. We're getting up there.
That's right. So, but Nathan, you know, thanks so much for joining us.
Absolutely.
And as we were talking about this, you know, where values, I mean, what we do in real life just kind of collides with what's actually happening in our investment portfolios so quickly without even realizing it. But you are making a career out of telling this story.
Right.
How did that happen?
Yeah. So that's a great question. And I don't know how that happened, James. No, I'm kidding.
Well, so, you shared a little bit about, you said a couple family members were pastors.
Yeah.
Did that have some influence?
Yeah. You know? So I grew up in a Baptist home.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. My grandfather was a pastor.
Mm-hmm.
My father was a pastor. He's retired now. And now my brother is a pastor of a very large church in Orlando, Florida.
Mm.
I knew my path wasn't the ministry. You know, I didn't really want to run a church. One thing, when you grow up in a church, you see everything about the church, right? And there are some great things, but there are some behind the scene things that people just don't realize that, you know, you need tithing and you know, you need volunteers. Mm-hmm. And there's a part of that logistically that has to go for the church to thrive. So I knew I didn't want to necessarily do that, but luckily my mother found Timothy Plan 25 years ago and became a great friend with Art Alley, who is the president and CEO and founder of Timothy Plan, and who actually still works into the business today at 81 years old. So,
you know, I notice that sometimes about, you know, folks that head up investment type companies, it seems like they never quite leave the business.
Right, right. No. And I think once you build that business, it's hard to leave.
Yeah.
Right. You've spent so much time, so many years.
And all those relationships.
And relationships that where you really care about your clients. Mm-hmm. And I think this is probably one of the largest, when I say largest, that might not be the right word, but the largest businesses, when you think about it, as far as how much we care about the client. That's not a right way to say it, but hopefully every business takes care of their clients and really likes the client.
Right.
But here you're dealing with people's finances, which is you know, something that is very,
very personal.
That's right. Very personal.
Yeah.
And I think that just creates a very deep understanding of the relationship.
Yeah.
It's hard to walk away from that.
And that's a while for some folks to open up in that way.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Absolutely. Yeah. And how do you pass that off to somebody?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
if you
really
notice in this business, a lot of it is it's generational.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
They pass it to the son or the daughter, and then they pass it to the son or the daughter. And I think a lot of that is not just for financial gain or anything. It's because the client is so used to this particular name and personality that it just makes sense to go to the heir of that person.
And
so,
usually those values are passed down to that family, and they're already aligned.
Right, exactly.
So your mother, so your mother connected with Art Alley over over at Timothy Plan.
Right. So so you know, I met Art, you know, over 20 years ago, and where I met him, oddly enough, was at a funeral. My grandfather had passed, and you know, was a pastor, and Art came and spoke at the funeral, and that's where I started looking into Timothy and what is this all about. At that time in my life, I owned a mortgage and real estate company, so really I am a real estate guy by trade, if you want to say. And I did that for a very long time. In 2008, the market absolutely crashed, as we know.
I forget what happened.
You know, something called the credit crisis, right?
I mean, liquidity just went away.
Exactly. Fine. So our homes were worth, you know, double the night before I went to sleep. It felt like like it was that fast. I know it took a little bit of time, but yeah, after that I went and got my education and just was wondering, what do I do with my life? And I fell back into real estate for some time. But those Christian values never left me, no matter what career I was doing.
Right.
And I got a call from Art Alley and his son-in-law, Brian Mumbert, who is the director of wholesalers for Timothy Plan. And they were looking to build their team. And this was right before COVID. Right. And for me to transition from where I was, it was a big deal, but I was ready. I was ready to be done with real estate. I felt like I had done really what I intended to do. And to go further was just going to take a lot more time than what I was probably willing to give with having three kids and a wife and had been neglected for about 20 years. So so that's how I got into the Timothy Plan. And it's been great since I've been there. And I'm lucky to work for a company whose values are shown in what they do every day. Not many people get to work for a company like that.
That's right.
So that's a bit about my story and where I come from and but I always had a Christian upbringing. You know, I think we go in and out of Christianity sometimes in our lives. I don't know if that sounds weird to everyone when I say that, but we can be in the church but not be in the church, if that makes sense. We can be in the faith but not be in the faith, you know. And
and I like what my pastor said one time. He said, when we're there on Sunday, he's like, this is church. He's like, but the real church happens out there Monday through Saturday.
That's right.
He's like, we're just here to go over these principles, show fellowship. He's like, out there Monday through Saturday is where the real church happens.
Eric, that is so, man, I've heard that so much in my life, right? And it's so true. I think sometimes we can get into a bubble as Christians, and we want to speak to each other because we know what the responses are going to be and how we're going to be accepted. But really, the hard work is done in places like Timothy Plan, where you put your faith out on a, you know, I mean, you put it out there for the world to see, and you're going to be criticized.
That's right.
Right? Some people are going to love it. Some people are not going to like it, and they're going to send you hate mail. You know?
And it's the, you know, the Monday through Saturday, that's where you're running a business.
That's right.
Right? If you happen to own a business, that's where you're running a business. You're making policy decisions about what happens in that business.
Right.
You're making decisions about how the retirement plan is set up.
Right.
Investment policy and – I mean, this is where it happens, right? When the rubber hits the road like that.
Right. And while you're making all those decisions, you have to remember that your values and faith are a big part of those decisions you're making. And in business, that's not always an easy duo, I guess.
That's right.
Right.
You know, speaking of which, I mean, this is not really something that's on the outline that we have here, but when you have a publicly traded company and you have shareholders of, you know, what happens when shareholders, you know, if shareholders actually write to the board of the company and, you know, on a particular topic or a particular issue that's coming, I mean, that makes a difference in terms of the board members hear and see this kind of communication coming through. And it makes a difference in how they think about, you know, corporate action A or B and how that impacts either profits or
trying to lobby those managers.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly right. And I know there are services available that help people to understand what those corporate issues are and know where to send their communication and so on and so forth. So, but that just, you know, that thought kind of popped into my head as we were talking about the Monday through Saturday.
Right. Right.
And where the rubber really hits the road.
Yeah. Like yeah. That. I think it's important that we're out with non-Christians and we're out, you know, sharing the gospel to those people as much as we're talking to our friends and our relatives and those that we know.
Jesus asked 12 sinners to follow him.
Right.
I mean, there was a very specific reason why.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. But that gets forgotten a lot, right? It gets forgotten a lot because people just want to be around people that are like-minded, you know? And when they have to put something as personal as their faith out there, it causes concern and, it's an uncomfortable situation. And we have to fight against that.
Yeah. And life can be a struggle, right?
It can be a struggle.
Whether with our families and our businesses, you know, it's really hard to get wrapped up and really keep your eyes on those values at the same time when you're trying to make ends meet.
Yeah. And I think that's what Timothy Plan has done so well, is that they haven't compromised anything. From someone on the inside, I can tell you, and this isn't a plug necessarily for Timothy Plan, right? This is just the truth. Art Alley is a follower of Jesus. Timothy Plan is a tent maker, and we've talked about that in the business. It's a tent maker for all the things that we do ministry-wise. And there's not many companies out there, and I know I've said that once already, but there just aren't many. Normally, they're thinking about the bottom line and, you know, how can we make a profit for
next
people
quarter,
to work
what
here?
Are we doing?
Next quarter, what are we doing? And the board is too, usually, right? But he has created something where the number one issue, the number one thing that we are trying to accomplish is to get people to follow Christ. And to look at us as different, right? And be a light into a different world.
Yeah. And it's, you know, in that regard, it's another story, right? We've talked about stories here, like the Tom Monahan story. You know, he grew a business called Domino's Pizza, and then he founded Ave Maria University. And what an impact, right? That educational business has had, Ave Maria University.
Right.
And I think, you know, we talked about the Ursuline sisters and how what they did grew into Catholic Charities. And
that was the foundation here down in New Orleans.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you just never know. You never know where those business efforts are going to go, where the domino effects are going to be, right?
Right.
And I'm sure, you know, when Art started up the Timothy Plan, he never dreamed possibly that the business would be where it is today. And the work that you do, right?
Yeah.
You know, Nathan, I mean, there's domino effects all over from the work that you do. And, you know, that's really the whole point of saying that when you align your investments with your values.
Yeah.
And you get those values infused and really integrated into your investments. You don't know where the domino effects are going to be. But you have an opportunity to make an impact, right? It doesn't make one investment better than another. I mean, all investments involve risk, right? So it doesn't take away any of that. But it provides an opportunity for those domino effects to happen.
Absolutely.
In ways that you may never know.
No, it's a great conversation so far. But we're running out of time in this segment. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation with Nathan. And we'll find out some ways how we can bridge that gap between our values and the values in our portfolio. You're listening to Money and Mission on WHYF AM 720.
Welcome back to Money and Mission here on Holy Family Radio, WHYF AM 720, where we're talking with Nathan Parrott from the Timothy Funds, the Timothy Plan.
Timothy Plan.
That's right. Yeah, about
they have funds.
That's right. About aligning our investments with our values. I'm James.
And this is Eric.
And we do this every week.
Yes.
That's right. We are on episode number 15. So, wow, we've spent some time talking about this little conundrum that happens when we discover that all of a sudden our investments really don't reflect what we say we believe and try to live out, right?
Right,
right. But what if, how do people actually know whether this is a thing or not for them, right?
Well, it's going to take a little bit of homework.
It takes a little bit of homework. I mean, by the time we get finished with this segment, you know, if you're listening to this podcast, you might conclude it takes a lot of homework.
That's right. That's right.
That's right. Because
we're really good partners.
But don't be discouraged.
Yeah.
Don't be discouraged.
That's right. So we want to give you, you know, we don't make recommendations here on the podcast, but there are some really specific action steps that you can take to try to do this detective work, right?
Right. Right.
And so I'm going to suggest four things here, but then let's talk through what those things are, right? You can read a prospectus. You can read annual reports of mutual funds and exchange traded funds and companies that you own. And you can talk with your financial advisor, or you can visit a tool on the internet called evaluator.com. Evaluator is spelled EvaluEator.com. If you write it out that way, it looks like you misspelled it.
Yes.
That's right.
But just remember value. Spell value and then put that T-O-R at the end of it.
Evaluator.
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
Evaluator.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, trust me. I was looking at that word for a while saying, wait, hold on. Why did they do this?
Why did they do this? I don't know how to spell. That's right.
Yeah, so.
That's right. But, you know, I understand that if somebody logs on to Evaluator, they can actually type in like 5 ticker symbols or so for free.
Right.
And just see how the things that they own in their investment portfolio actually show up, whether there's values alignment there or not. But, you know, let's talk about this thing called a prospectus. We talked about this a couple of months ago, and it was so fascinating and so interesting. We had, you know, such positive feedback when we said read a prospectus, right?
I'm actually surprised by that you had positive feedback, because it can be kind of boring sometimes.
I just made that up.
Oh, did you just make that up? Okay. Well, hey, you convinced me.
Yeah. But what is a prospectus?
Right.
What is? I mean, you know what prospectuses are, don't you, Nathan?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's like you said. I mean, it's a business plan, right? Did you want to go ahead and say something?
No.
No, but yeah, it's a business plan for the actual fund or the exchange-traded fund. It's going to tell you what are they trying to accomplish. Mm-hmm. That's really what a prospectus is. And
so you open a prospectus and somewhere along the way it says, we're trying to make money. Well, I mean, they all say that shape, or form.
Right.
I mean, that's kind of the whole point.
But they're going to give you an idea of, you know, where are they putting the percentages? Where, you know, what are they really putting in this fund? And, you know, maybe you give us a little bit more, James, since I know you're in the prospectus world.
Oh, he loves prospectus.
And you love to read. If anybody doesn't know James, he is a reader, I think, by nature, honestly.
Yeah. So sure, in a general kind of way, every prospectus has – every prospectus has different sections. One is the objective or the goal. What's the fund trying to do? And then another section talks about risks. Mm-hmm. And really, every investment involves risks. So people can read the risks that are associated with owning that particular fund. But then there's a section called investment strategies. Mm-hmm. And that is where you start to be able to see whether or not what these people are doing with your money is in alignment with your values. Mm-hmm. So you can skip over a lot of stuff in the prospectus. No, don't skip over any of it. Read the whole prospectus, all, you know, 100 pages or whatever it is. But let me just give you an example. Here I'm reading out of the section called Principal Investment Strategies. This is a fund that says the fund intends to invest at least 80% of its assets in stocks of companies that may be morally questioned by members of the general public or face regulatory challenges because of social and societal disapproval. Like, there's four different categories, you know, gaming and tobacco, alcoholic beverages. And I mean, they seek out, you know, areas of business that are objectionable to people. So you could read that and say, yeah, I want to do that. I mean, it's pretty clear. It either,
right.
I mean, or you could say, you know what? I really don't want my money invested like that.
Right, right. Right.
So there's an example of a prospectus that is either in alignment or not.
Yeah.
Right.
The great thing about these two is for legality reasons, they have to tell you.
Yes.
Right. So mm-hmm. if you read Consumer the prospectus, protection. You're going to have a good idea or mm-hmm. a great idea
right.
of what's really going on in this fund.
That's right.
Right.
So that's right. That's so important. Here's another fund that actually, this is actually an Islamic fund that invests according to Sharia principles.
Yeah.
And it's actually written in Arabic, so I can't read any of it. but here it is, right? I mean, you guys yeah. can see this.
Right,
there.
Right.
And
I also mentioned the other day that I found out there's a Nancy Pelosi ETF.
Is that right?
That you can track the trade.
Well, I know you can track the trade.
Yes, yeah, I yes. just heard it. I didn't
and
look.
And you can actually do that for Congress, and they actually have
but
that.
But that would need a prospectus.
Absolutely.
Right?
That would need absolutely. A prospectus.
I mean, listen, if you're trading, we don't give any advice here, but if you're doing that, you need to be careful. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's right. So, but the point is, you know, you read that prospectus, and that helps you to see in a general kind of way whether or not there's alignment of values, right? So, I mean, contrast that to even like, you know, here's a prospectus that says this is a mutual fund that will avoid four major categories of companies, those involved in the practice of abortion, those that distribute pornographic material, and those that support embryonic stem cell research. So, you know, again, if that's important to you, then you can clearly say, hey, this is a possibility that I may want to consider in my investments.
Right.
And I think you had one there too, Eric, that there was a fund there that just, I guess that just really specifically said, it talked about biblical values.
Oh, and, I mean, basically the same. Yeah. It was for those mm-hmm. involved in the practice of abortion. Those who policies are judged, such as companies that distribute pornographic material and embryonic stem cell research. So very similar language.
Yeah.
With so, those values.
Yeah. So the point is, you know, now you know that, hey, the business plan may be in alignment. And then you really do, you need to read further and understand what the risks are.
Right.
And you know, try to understand whether you think the way the fund is performing, whether that's in alignment with your investment objectives.
Right.
But the prospectus is such an important piece of information to read. So, you know, a second thing that you can read is an annual report, and every mutual fund has to publish an annual report a couple of times a year. Mm-hmm. And exchange traded funds often allow you to just look at all of the holdings that are in that fund every single day. And so if you're not clear on the description that's in the prospectus, then you can read the annual report. You can look at what's actually owned in the fund and see if you recognize anything there that you would find objectionable.
Absolutely.
Right.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, James.
No, that's okay. We've got a couple more bullet points here and we're going to run out of time really quickly.
Yeah.
But
yeah, just wanted to let our listeners know that financial statements, fund performance, investment decisions of that fund, you can see all of that in the annual report. And like mm-hmm. James said, it's important to read beyond the prospectus for that.
That's right. Yeah. And you know, a lot of times people will look in a prospectus and say, oh, here's how the fund has performed historically. Right. And that's true, how it has performed historically, but past performance is never
that's right.
a guarantee of future results.
Right. Right. Absolutely.
Yeah. So, you know, investments involve risk, and that's why it's important to understand what is going on in the funds that you own, and the stocks as well. So, you know, a third thing that you can do if you're not sure about what's in your mutual fund or any funds you own is you can talk to your financial advisor and really quiz that person on exactly how it is that your investments either align or don't align.
Right.
And this is where sometimes that relationship or sometimes that conversation can get a little sticky, right? Because let's say that you're working with an advisor who really maybe doesn't share your values.
Right.
I mean, it's
not good.
No, I mean,
it's reality though.
It's reality. I mean, we think that financial advisors should have these values conversations with their clients.
Right.
And because what we're doing again with our money, it spells out, I mean, it makes an impact, and this is exactly where our value sets get to change the world around us. Right.
It says a lot about who we are.
Mm-hmm. It does say a lot about who we are. Yeah. So, but you know, we would just say, you know, if you have this conversation with your financial advisor and you're just not getting what you're looking for out of that, I mean, you could give us a shout too.
Yeah.
But again, those conversations really should be happening, and
absolutely,
we would hope that, you know, if you talk to your advisor and about this values based conversation, that, you know, maybe the advisor would catch the vision as well.
Right. Right.
And we think that would be really exciting.
And if not, at least interview some others.
That's right.
Which I always recommend that people do, you know, interview advisors that you're looking to work for you.
That's exactly right. So, you know, so then of course we talked about evaluators. So there's a few really practical action steps that you can take. And wow, we are almost out of time here again, aren't we?
Yeah, but it was a great conversation. Thank you, Nathan, absolutely, so much for being here.
Yeah, it was great to be here.
We really enjoy your story. And this is what we try to talk with our clients about and listeners on the show every day. So it's great to have you here.
Yeah, thank you so much for the opportunity and for being here.
Thanks again. You're listening to Holy Family Radio, WHYF AM 720. Have a blessed week.